إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام.
الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يدلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. درود شریف پڑھیں. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, we have been covering the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Ulama have mentioned from the many virtues given to the great man, the Khalifa Amir al-Mu'mineen Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an, one great virtue is the fact that his daughter Hazrat Hafsa radiyallahu ta'ala anha is the wife of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in relationship, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala an is the father-in-law and the Prophet is the son-in-law. For any woman to attain the highest position in this world, it would only be if she would bind herself in the form of nikah with Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is no other higher position given to any other woman. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised the azwaj, the chaste wives of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They are also known as Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the Ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One entire section has been recorded in the books of Ahadith, in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari and also Imam Muslim has mentioned that entire episode of how Hazrat Hafsa radiyallahu ta'ala anha came in the nikah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the father is the narrator of this beautiful hadith. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala an says that when my son-in-law passed away, he was also a sahabi. His name was Al-Huzaymi Sahmi, Husayn Al-Huzaymi Sahmi, and he was not an ordinary sahabi, he was a Badri sahabi, very close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa kana min ashabi Rasulillah kad shahida badran, he fought in the battle of Badr, wa tuwaffiya bil Madina, and he passed away in Madinatul Munawwara. As was the tartib, the custom with all the companions, they never allowed any Muslim woman, a Muslima, to remain free from marital status. They would want her to remarry as soon as possible. This was the sunnah of all the companions. The only period of waiting was the period of iddah. And straight after iddah, again the father concerned, looking for the right man, looking for the right son-in-law to marry Hazrat Hafsa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala an says that the first man that I met was Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an. I went out in the streets of Medina with the intention to look for the right husband for my daughter. And the first man who I meet is Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Imagine the simplicity that was there in the times of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today when we need to make nikah, we need a helicopter, we need subhanallah, God knows what we need, a helipad, and we need that the queen special venue. Allahu Akbar, all fuzuliyat. You'd rather give that money to your daughter or to your son or whoever is getting married. The ummah is in need. The ummah is in need. There are so many organizations that insan could give charity to. Subhanallah. And we want to blast away in extravagance so much money just for one day or 2 days. Wallahu alam. And compare our weddings to the times of the companions. Musa bhai, how was your wedding? He's just come back from Zambia. So I'll get that information later on from him. Let me continue.
I was getting wages £18 a year. So how much I can expend?
So he's still £18 is quite a lot of wage. MashaAllah. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an finds Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, and he says, Falakitu Uthman, found Uthman. Uthman, subhanAllah, what a great Sahabi. What a great Sahabi Hazrat Uthman was, Zunnurain. And in simple words, Hazrat Umar Farooq greets him and says, come here Uthman, let me speak to you. In shi'ta ankahtuka Hafsa binti Umar. إن شئت أنكحتك حفصة بنت عمر. If you want, I will marry my daughter to you. Simple, straightforward. Sahaba were, subhanAllah, such mukhlis, sincere people. Straightforward. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Uthman. If you wish, I will marry my daughter to you. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala stood up and said, ثُمَّ انْزُرُوا فِي أَمْرِي. Give me a bit of time, let me think about it. فَلَبِسْتُ لَيَالِي. A few days went past. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and comes back and says, no offense to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, but at this juncture, I wish not to take anyone in my nikah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an smiled at him. No offense, simple people, yes or no. They would meet for the sake of Allah and they would depart for the sake of Allah. And there was no other ulterior motive. Yes or no? A simple proposal and you say no, fine, alhamdulillah. A few days went past, again father is concerned, like all the fathers. Now who does he meet? His very close friend, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Talk about the simplicity. So he was a bit easy with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. So he met Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. He says, Ya Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr, come to me. Close friends. Again, same words. In shi'ta ankahtuka Hafsa binti Umar. If you want, I will marry my daughter to you, O Abu Bakr. Friend, presenting the daughter to a friend. Today we can't even imagine this. We can't imagine this. SubhanAllah. And unfortunately we see the divorce rate for small petty reasons, talaq here and talaq there. Women will be rewarded if they do sabr. Allah will reward you. And the best thing is to stay in relationship until death. Unless there is uzr, that is different. And so Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq had a different approach. In the hadith it comes, فَصَمَتَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ وَلَمْ يَرْجِعْ إِلَيَّ شَيْءٍ. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq opted to be completely silent. Nothing, no words. Hazrat Umar Farooq is shocked. This is not the making of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. It's not his character. Very quiet. I am offering my daughter and he, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, is very quiet. Didn't say a word to me. And looked at me, smiled and slowly went away. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala and felt in his heart slightly disturbed that this is not the character of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. If he wanted to marry, he would say yes, otherwise he would say no. Anyway, a few days go by, Hazrat Umar Farooq didn't have any answer from Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to him. Thumma khatabaha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Hazrat Umar Farooq and said to him, Umar, I have a proposal. Would you marry your daughter to me? Hazrat Umar Farooq just looked at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who better as son-in-law than Rahmatul Lil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do you accept my offer, my proposal? Do you accept the fact that Hafsa would want to marry me? Do you give permission? And Hazrat Umar Farooq said, Ya Rasulullah, isn't permission for you? Accept it. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eventually got married to Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala, and the nikah was performed. After a few days, again comes Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and meets him and says, Umar, I know that in your heart you have some ill feelings about me. I didn't respond to your call, didn't give you a reply. The only reason I didn't give you any reply was the fact that just one day before, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam confided to me and said to me, O Abu Bakr, listen to me. I wish to marry the daughter of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. And because this was a secret of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is why I remained totally silent. Totally silent. And then he said to Hazrat Umar Farooq, وَلَوْ تَرَكَهَا لَكَبِلْتُهَا. Rest assured, if for some reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he did not marry her, I would have accepted her. Subhanallah. Look at the love that was there in the companions between the ashab of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this is a very important issue, my respected brothers. I wish to take one or two sessions and to touch on this issue. Azwaj-e-Mutahharat, the wives of Nabi-e-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers, the Ummah of Nabi-e-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very, very important characters in the seerah of Nabi-e-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find today, unfortunately, a group of people who even attack the maqam, the status of the wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a major campaign launched by Abdullah bin Ubay, Ra'is of the Munafiqeen, the hypocrites, against Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And he was in the forefront of accusing her, al-iyazu billah. And that entire event is recorded in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed two entire ruku's. For no individual in the Quran, Allah has revealed so many verses except for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Two entire ruku's have been dedicated for her bara'at. She was completely, subhanallah, free from the allegations, acquitted by the verses of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed two rukus. So there were major campaigns even in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why do people want to attack the wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Slowly I want to fall into one very important topic where we find the Western world pointing fingers as Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that she married Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at a very young age, and we need to understand that. But before that, why do people want to attack the wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The answer is very simple. When you have a dislike of an individual or an entity, then you want to put under the microscope everything that is attached to that individual. You want to scrutinize everything. You hate an individual, so anything that is part of that individual, you want to find the fault. You want to find and pick faults. So you have the kuffar who have a dislike of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes they will directly attack the maqam, the status of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or otherwise they will attack indirectly to anything that is affiliated to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you have people who attack the wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not because that they have understood something from one special event, but the truth of the matter is that they dislike Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you have a group of people who find faults in the azwaj, the wives of Rasulullah, or otherwise they will find faults in the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If they can't find faults in the companions, then they will find faults in the Ahl Bayt, the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If they can't find faults in the Ahl Bayt, then they will find faults in the verses revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or if they can't find faults in the verses, then they will find faults in the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a group of people came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they had enough, and they said, "Oh Muhammad, let us come to an agreement sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are inviting us to worship one God, one Allah, and we want you to worship the gods of your forefathers. So let us come to a compromise." And what was the agreement? 1 year we will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the following year you worship our idols, our gods. And we will continue. So 1 year we worship Allah, and the other year you worship our gods. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed one beautiful chapter of the Quran. Kul, say it, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ayyuhal kafirun, O kuffar, disbelievers, La a'budu ma ta'budun, you will never worship who I worship. Wala antum abidun ma abud, wala ana abidun ma abadtum. At the end Allah says, Lakum deenukum waliyadeen. What kind of an offer is this? What kind of a compromise is this? You want me to worship stones and idols when I am inviting you to worship Khaliq, Ghafurur Rahim, who is Rahman and Rahim? Lakum deenukum waliyadeen. For you is your sharia, your deen, for me is my own deen. Subhanallah. So people want to find faults. And when you have a dislike for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will find the fault in everything, the minaret, the masjid, the mihrab. Subhanallah. In everything. Why there is a dislike of the main character. And when there's a dislike of the main character, anything affiliated to that, there is a dislike for everything. And this is natural. And so the ulama of this ummah, whenever they go to explain something, it is not to protect the honor and the status of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, subhanallah. Wallahu ya'asimuka minan nas. Allah has already given that maqam to Rasulullah. The ummah is not doing a favor. Allah has already given that maqam to Rasulullah. 5 times a day from the high minarets, the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taken. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. 5 times. Continuously. Subhanallah. And Allah gave him a beautiful name, Muhammad, the praised one. What a beautiful name. So the ulama, when they explain anything, it is not because they wish to give some answers to elevate the maqam, the status of Rasulullah. No, subhanallah. The only reason they go into explanation is that so the bulk of humanity is not deprived from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that they don't turn away from Rasulullah. We need Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a model. So that people don't turn away from, subhanallah, the best model that is out there. Otherwise, when it comes to the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I say this, and I know there is a lot of sensitivity with what I say right now, that we find a great part of human beings worshipping Isa alayhi salatu wassalam because they have this deep love for Jesus, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. I am in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of the believers have this unprecedented love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and if it was not the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muslims would have even worshipped Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But Allah is the protector, and Allah has kept a balance in the Sharia. So with this love that flows on one side, on the other side there is also this balance of Tawheed to worship one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, the greatest maqam, the highest position is given to who? Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was one imam in America, a Nigerian, one imam, and his name was Muhammad Ashir. What was it? Muhammad Ashir. And people knew him as Sheikh Muhammad Ashir. One day people were sitting, and on the subject of names, someone said to him, "Sheikh, how come your name is Muhammad Ashir?" So for the very first time he said to the people, he said that my dad loves the name of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He loves the name Muhammad because it is the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So every male child that was born, he named every male child Muhammad. So I was the 10th male child born, so he gave me a name Muhammad, the 10th one, Ashir. Ashir is from the word Ashara. What is it? Ashara. And Ashara means 10. So Allah had blessed him with 10 children, and he was the last, so his name was Muhammad Ashir. So Muhammad Wahid, Muhammad Thani, Muhammad Salis, Muhammad Rabi, Muhammad Khamis, Muhammad Sadis, Muhammad Sabi, Muhammad Samin, Muhammad Tasi, and Muhammad Ashir. So talk about love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is an ummah out there which loves Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there are no bounds, subhanallah, of that love. So the greatest man is Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is a dislike for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that is why you will find people targeting anything that is affiliated or surrounds this great religion, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. From the wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you will find two in particular. One is Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and another is Hazrat Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu ta'ala anha. Two points of contentious issues that people want to argue on the fact when it comes to the wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They will point their finger to Hazrat Aisha, the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha. Why? Because it is said that she married Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam at a very young age. So we have the Western world pointing fingers at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, aliyazu billah. And when we talk about pedophiles in this country, and in the Netherlands, there was an article in the Times that came that now there is a party of pedophiles that is elected, and it is a political party in the Netherlands. A party of pedophiles. So you have rights for gays and lesbians, and now you have another party, and that party belongs to the pedophiles. And this is the world that we live in. Subhanallah al-Azim. Allahu Akbar. And so people find faults in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now before we explain some of the reasons, it must be very, very clear that the ulama only explain, not because it needs any explanation. As Muslims, we are Muslims, and Muslims means to surrender to the ahkam, to the rules of Sharia, but only to benefit the bulk of people. Maybe it will increase their level of iman. The first thing we need to understand, especially from the many wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we look at the two wives, Hazrat Zainab and Hazrat Aisha, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never given a choice. It was not his idea. Like in the case of Hazrat Hafsa, he went to Hazrat Umar Farooq and said that I wish to marry your daughter. But in the case of Hazrat Aisha and Hazrat Zainab, it was a direct command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had nothing to do with the nikah. It was not his own initiative. It was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is clear in the Quran, especially when it concerns Hazrat Zainab bint Jahash radiyallahu ta'ala, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, وَتَرَنْ زَوَّجْنَا كَهَا. ہم نے آپ کی نکاح کرا دی, حضرت زینب کی نکاح. نکاحتها وقبلتها is in this word, زوجنا کہا. The nikah is already done. And that is why she just came into the chamber, the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There was no khutbah, there was no nikah, there were no two witnesses, there was no wakil, no nothing. Because Allah said, زَوَّجْنَا كَهَا. So she just walked into the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and nikah was done.
Subhanallah.
So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam wasn't given a choice. And the same thing in the case of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. For 3 continuous nights, a dream was shown to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Jibreel Amin would come and would say to him that she is your wife in this world. She is your wife in this world. And that lady was the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was never given a choice. So in the case of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, it was a direct command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as Muslims, we are very, very clear about that. We need to understand, my respected brothers, the level of iman. Today, we are very weak. Unfortunately, what happens is because of the environment that we live in, we are affected. We are susceptible to everything that is around us. We read newspapers, we watch programs which are against the Sharia, we hear things which are against the Sharia, we talk about things which are not right, we do ghibat, a lot of things, and we are affected. Subhanallah. And sometimes even Muslims don't understand. And that is because the level of iman is very, very weak. Let me put forward to you just 2 ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was with a group of companions, and he said to them that there was a man who mounted on a cow, and he started whipping that cow, and he wanted the cow to move faster and faster. So all of a sudden, that cow spoke to that man and said, "Inna lam yukhlaq lihada." Allah. Inna lam yukhlaq lihada. Allah has not created us for your means of transportation. That is horse and other animals, camels. But Allah has not created the cow for your transportation, that you can sit on me and whip me and hit me and lash me. And so when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said this, The companion said, Subhanallah, Baqaratun tatakallam. All glory be to Allah, a cow that speaks. What did they say? Subhanallah, a cow that speaks. Subhanallah. Ajeeb. Now imagine, we have the technology today, we have computers speaking to us, toys speaking to us, car saying, be careful, very close, very close, very close to the other car, close, close. We have all sorts of people talking. Subhanallah. You have your alarm clocks, and when you ring the doorbell, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Imagine going back to the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No technology, simple people. So they were surprised and they said, Subhanallah, Baqaratun tatakallam, a cow that speaks. What did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? فَإِنِّي أُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا أَنَا وَأَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ. What I have said, I have iman and Abu Bakr and Umar. What I have said to you, I bring iman and Abu Bakr and Umar. Hazrat Abu Huraira, who is the narrator of the hadith, he says that Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar Farooq were not present, but Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is advocating on behalf of Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar Farooq, explaining to the companions, the very high level of the two companions, that whatever I say, they don't have any doubt. Whatever I say, they have no doubt. So in the majlis, there was no Abu Bakr Siddiq, there was no Umar Farooq, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, فَإِنِّي أُؤْمِنُ. No doubt what I have said to you is nothing but the truth. I have full yaqeen and iman on what I have said. Abu Bakr and also Umar have full yaqeen, full iman on what I have said. Important lessons need to be learned, my respected brothers. Another similar event. Once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions that a wolf attacked a sheep and the shepherd was close by. The shepherd saw the wolf and ran after the wolf and managed to release the sheep from the wolf. And so the wolf started speaking, and the wolf said to the shepherd that today the shepherd, you are the shepherd and you have saved this animal of yours, but Allah has made this animal lawful for me, it is my food. What will happen tomorrow when I attack again and you won't be there? It will only be the wolves that will be there. And so this wolf started speaking. So the companions again said, Subhanallah, zi'bun yatakallam. Zi'bun yatakallam. O Nabi of Allah, a wolf that speaks. What did they say? Now, Subhanallah, they did not doubt the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what is known as muhawra or af'al ta'ajjub. When a person is surprised, astonished, this is the method of speaking. So the Arabs would speak that way, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And they would say that, zi'bun yatakallam, a wolf that speaks. Again, same words were repeated by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, فَإِنِّي أُؤْمِنُ بِهَذَا أَنَا أَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ. I bring iman on what I have said, Abu Bakr and Umar also. And the ulama, the narrators have mentioned that again Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar Farooq were not there. My respected brothers, the reason why I have quoted in front of you the two hadiths is so that we as Muslims must understand, we have no doubt of any action of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, if one was to think that there was a possibility of an action that could have been done in a more better way, then that is kufr with Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or in a more perfect way than what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, that is kufr and that person is a kafir. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's every action was to the limits of perfection. To the limits of perfection. So we as Muslims have no doubt. If he married Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha at the age of 6, we have no doubt. We have no doubt at all. We have no suspicion. It is the direct command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The nikah was performed at the age of 6, but the consummation, rukhsati, was done at the age of 9. It is a very important subject, my respected brothers. Inshallah, bear with me for the next one or two sessions, and we will compare the nikah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a lot of the things that are out there in the world today. And inshallah, people will understand clearly every action that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taken is a natural step, and Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is completely free from any blame. These are the kuffar. They have a habit and they point fingers at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I wish not to start on that subject, inshaAllah ta'ala. It is very, very sensitive, very, very important. I want the brothers, inshaAllah, to come in the next session and we will cover this topic. And I will explain to you who the real paedophiles are in the world that we live in. And compare, subhanAllah, the honor of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should be ready, my respected brothers. Musa bhai gave me an article that in France there is a lady who has now become an imam of a masjid. Musa bhai, there were a lot of people who wanted to become muazzin and take your place, but they were all men. And so you have now women not fighting to become muazzin, but women fighting to take my job. Arif bhai? So, Arif bhai is here all the time, mashallah. What a great khadim of the masjid he is. Allah give him a long life. Amen. Alhamdulillah, tandrusti, subhanallah. Some people you just envy in the masjid, and so many others, Allah give them all barakat. Amen. So you have people who, women who want to become imam. Arif bhai, masturad ni jamaat ni krene. So they want to become imams. So there was this lady, and she said to this great alim that, look, what has happened to you Muslims? You people are gender biased. That you don't allow women to become, you don't allow women to lead the prayers. So why? If there's equality in Islam, then the fact should be that women should also lead the prayers. And what a good answer this great alim gave. He said, look, you are a Christian and I am a Muslim. Open up the Bible and find me all the biblical prophets. Find the names of all the biblical prophets. Tell me, was there any prophet who was a woman?
MashaAllah.
Right or wrong? Tell me, was there any prophet in the Bible, Torah, in the Old Testament or in the New Testament? Was there any prophet that came and walked on the face of this earth who was a woman? And truthfully and rightfully she said, no, every single biblical prophet was a man. So he said, tell me, do you think Allah or God who you believe in is also prejudiced? So if God did not want a woman to be a prophet, we follow exactly the teachings that have been revealed to us. So the imam is only a man, not a woman. As all the prophets that came were all men. Even Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam, Hazrat Maryam, though we say alayhi salam, that is because of the title given to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And in connection to the mother, Isa alayhi salam, we say Maryam alayhi salam. And also that honor that she is mentioned in the Quran. In the Quran. And Allah has praised her as she is the Siddiqa of her time. But every prophet that came was a man. Every prophet that came was a man. So naturally you can't have a woman as an imam and behind her men would also pray. No. Yeah, you can have an imam, a woman perhaps in her own area and where there are only women. And then you have again the masail of the fuqaha. Some have said this is makruh. Whatever the masail be. But not generally to take that position and to become the imams of the masjid. This would not be right. As you know, there are also certain days in the month in which Allah has exempted them from performing salah. What would happen? So there are a number of reasons. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا الله ہماری حفاظت فرما يا الله جو کچھ بولا ہے اس پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق دے يا الله ہمارا ایمان مضبوط ہو جائے يا الله ہمارا ایمان مضبوط ہو جائے ہمارا ایمان قوی ہو جائے يا الله ایسا ایمان ہو جو ہمیں گناہ سے روک دے ایسا ایمان ہو جو گناہ سے روک دے یا اللہ مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ لبنان کے مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما فلسطین کے مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما عراق کے اندر جو مظالم ہو رہے یا اللہ مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما شیشان کے اندر مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما جہاں کہیں مسلمان پریشان حال ہے یا اللہ ان کی پریشانی کو دور فرما یا اللہ کفاروں کو بڑا غرور ہے تکبر ہے بڑا ناز ہے یا اللہ ان کو بہت تکبر ہے غرور ہے یا اللہ کھلے عام مسلمان کے اوپر ظلم کر رہے ہیں یا اللہ وہ ہمیں سمجھتے ہیں کہ ہم بے سہارا ہے یا اللہ ہم بے سہارا نہیں ہے سب سے بڑا سہارا تیرا ہے یا اللہ سب سے بڑا سہارا تیرا ہے یا اللہ تیرا حکم ہے کہ ہم اس تسبیح کو پڑھ لے حسبنا اللہ ونعم الوکیل حسبنا اللہ ونعم الوکیل اللہ تو ہمیں کافی ہے یا اللہ تو ہمیں کافی ہے یا اللہ مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ یہ پریشان حال ہے یا اللہ کتنے مسلمان شہید ہو گئے یا اللہ زخمی ہے یا اللہ مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ تو ہمیں فتوحات ہماری زندگی میں بتا دے یا اللہ ان کو کمزور کر دے یا اللہ ان کو کمزور کر دے یا اللہ اگر ان کے مقدر میں ہدایت نہیں ہے یا اللہ ان کو تتر بتر کر دے نیست و نابود کر دے یا اللہ جیسے تم نے ماضی میں قوم کو ہلاک کیا یا اللہ ان لوگوں کو ہلاک کر دے یا اللہ ان لوگوں کو ہلاک کر دے یا اللہ ان میں خود میں اختلاف ہو جائے انتشار ہو جائے یا اللہ یہ خود تباہ ہو جائے یا اللہ مسلمان کی شان و شوکت بڑھ جائے یا اللہ مسلمانوں کی شان و شوکت بڑھ جائے یا اللہ ایسے ائمہ ہو ایسے سربراہ ہو جن کے دل میں اللہ کا خوف ہو یا اللہ حرمین الشریفین کی حفاظت فرما حرمین الشریفین کی حفاظت فرما فلسطین مسجد اقصی کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ مڈل ایسٹ کے اندر جو کچھ بھی ہو رہا ہے یا اللہ مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہم نکمے ہیں کمزور ہے یا اللہ پھر بھی تیرے بندے ہیں یا اللہ تیرے بندے ہیں یا اللہ تیرے گھر میں بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں یا اللہ ہم کچھ نہیں کر سکتے بے بس ہو چکے ہیں یا اللہ ہم صرف مانگ سکتے ہیں یا اللہ ہماری ٹوٹی پھوٹی دعا قبول فرما یا اللہ مسلمانوں کے حق میں ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما یا اللہ بے شک تیرے پاک نبی نے فرمایا ایک مسلمان کے لیے دعا کرتا ہے جو سامنے نہ ہو تو اللہ اس دعا کو قبول کرتا ہے یا اللہ ہمارے بھائی ہمارے سامنے نہیں ہے یا اللہ وہ ہم سے غائب ہے یا اللہ ان کی دعاؤں کو قبول فرما یا اللہ ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما یا اللہ مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما نستغفرک و نتوب الیک نستغفرک و نتوب الیک سمعنا و اطعنا غفرانک ربنا و الیک المصیر برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین